first question we have here, if there's any CBS question. We had the economic group become a preposition, and the alcohol to be a compound to help aid. So the compounds that we're looking at first are the compounds that are mixed, meaning that they have a direct action as well as an indirect action. What you're looking for here would be compounds that have a phenethylamine structure but don't have the phenolic group. So we usually have the beta alcohol. Ethyl phenylamine was a very popular compound. It was removed from the market because of the increased incidence of hemorrhagic stroke. It was widely used as a decongestant as well as an appetite suppressant. There's a lot of over-the-counter appetite suppressant compounds. We compare this to an amphetamine. Amphetamine wouldn't have the alcohol on it. So you didn't see the CNS stimulation as much as the side effect. Compared to the ephedrine, which we'll see in a minute, doesn't have the methyl group on the nitrogen. So by not having the methyl group, you've got more of an antagonist activity, more of a vasopressor action. compound with propyl alcohol, two alpha methyls. It's the ethylene, which is used as an inotropic agent and a pressor agent for the treatment of shock. Using it to treat hypotension when dealing with high blood pain is present or the person's receiving spinal anesthesia. You won't see too many compounds that have too many chemicals on the hypocarbon. That will decrease the direct action with the steroid killers at the second level. The ephedrine differs from the phenylpropanolamine and then it has a methyl group on the nitrogen. This is a naturally occurring compound. See the isomers in a minute, but the naturally occurring compound is one isomer, the erythral isomer, it's known as one. Then this was a compound that was widely used as a weight loss agent. We see more CNS stimulation with the compound because of the alpha methyl, it's more lipid soluble. The alcohol decreases again compared to like methamphetamine, but depending on the dose, you can get something with CNS. In FDA, restricted its use because of an increased incidence of heart attacks and strokes. And that was challenging, of course. A lot of times people have a tendency to think that if something is a natural product, it's safe. So, but I think the reason for them acting was there was a lot of publicity involvement. Orioles pitcher, Steve Belcher, had died. He was in training camp and he had used the compound. So he did somebody that showed him healthy and then died of a heart attack. So they had other incidences in the literature previous to that, but somebody that's well known dies. But this life was the problem a lot more. For metabolism, how would you expect the compound to be substrate for the monoamine oxidase because of the alpha methyl. But remember, these were the two major enzymes that were metabolized in the natural occurring compounds. The fact that it's not a substrate for either one doesn't mean that it's not metabolized at all. These are other oxidative enzymes present in the body, so ultimately the body can get rid of it. Two oxidative processes, but it's just not a substrate for either of those two. This shows the four isomers. If you can have, you've got two chiral centers. The ephedrine is the compounds on the top, and naturally occurring compound is the minus isomer. And pseudoephedrine is the plus isomer, where you have a difference in the stereochemistry of the alcohol. If you compare compounds, what would be the relationship between the ephedrine and the pseudoephedrine? question that's wrong is B. It could be either A or C. The compounds that are enantiomers are compounds that are non-superimposable uranes. So if you look at the header, the plus and minus isomers would be enantiomers. Got the uranine. You look at the pseudo header, again, the plus and minus isomers would be enantiomers to one another. If you're comparing a header to pseudo header, it would depend on which isomer you're comparing it to. So if you took the cis compound in this one, you would have changed the stereochemistry of the alcohol. If you compare this one to this isomer, you would change the stereochemistry of the amine. Consider the methyl group. So we changed one chiral center, that would make it an anomer. So anomer is one chiral center difference. Any of the isomers of ephedrine versus a pseudoephedrine would also be diastereomers. So compounds that are enantiomers would be diastereomers. So this isomer would be reduced to, plus this one would be reduced to. So in the anomers, they can be diastereomers. Stereochemistry of the alcohol would be important. The naturally occurring isomer of the ephedrine has a direct action on both alpha and beta receptors. It also has some indirect action. We said with the direct action we expect to have a phenolic group somewhere. It depends on the dosage you're using. If you start using a high enough dose, you can see the direct action. Compound with the phenolic group would be more potent, but with high enough dosage, it would become direct action. So, naturally occurring minus isomer, direct action, as well as indirect action. If you go to the plus isomer, you've got the wrong stereochemistry of the alcohol, that would be primarily an indirect acting compound. You go through the pseudoephedrine, these are the trio isomers, they're on opposite sides. They're mostly indirect acting. So we use nasal decongestant compounds. Again, the reason the pseudoephedrine is a direct acting compound is stereochemistry of the alcohol. It's in the wrong position. So if you want a direct acting compound, you need the interaction of the alcohol with the receptor. Mentioned you've got some CNS activity. Again, what you have to look at is the polarity of the compound. You do have an alcohol, it can decrease it, but it doesn't totally eliminate it. So you can see some CNS stimulation, particularly with thyroid. Compounds that are indirect acting shouldn't be used with compounds that are monoamine oxidase inhibitors. We'll cover them when we get into the antidepressant compounds. Monoamine oxidase inhibitors prevent the metabolism of naturally occurring compounds. And what these are doing is indirect acting compounds are releasing the compounds and then you'd be preventing their metabolism. Indirect means that they're not interacting with the receptors, which will end up increasing the amount of more of an after effect present. You have the beta hydroxy that decreases the indirect action. Again, it will depend on the stereochemistry of the alcohol and the amount that you use. So if you have this stereochemistry where the alcohol doesn't interact with the receptor, that you can see the indirect action that you need with the similar better. And then an alpha method will increase the indirect action. So the group that's on the nitrogen generally decreases indirect activity. You can't have anything larger than that. Primary gene would be more active than the front home with the methyl. Something larger than that would not be indirect active. Focal hexagene is the compound that doesn't have the aromatic ring. That's what the S is standing for. This is a saturated ring. And the aromatic ring is going to give you the maximum activity. This compound can be used by inhalation, so you're looking at getting a high concentration in the vicinity where you want it to produce this effect. Just a couple of comments on the amphetamines. We'll cover these with the CNS stimulants a little bit later, but they're closely related to the compounds that we're looking at. So instead of looking at a peripheral effect, we'll be looking at a central effect. So compounds like the amphetamines can affect the release of things like norepinephrine. It can also affect things like dopamine. We're used as appetite suppressors. The problem is you have an addiction liability. And you also have a problem that the weight loss is kind of temporary, so people can lose weight in as long as they take the drug, maybe they can take it off. But in most cases, when people discontinue it, they put the weight back on. So it's not like a permanent solution to losing weight. Again, because of the abuse potential, they don't usually use it for that purpose. Major use will be tension deficit and in narcolepsy. So with these compounds, again, they're going to be like the indirect acting, that releases norepinephrine, you can stimulate the receptors in the CNS. Then depending on dose, you can also look at things like dopamine. The amphetamines don't totally act in the CNS. They can have peripheral actions. They can do things like increasing blood pressure. This is just showing the effects of again. Net effect is you're increasing the neurotransmitters. Again, it can be affecting either norepinephrine or dopamine. Serotonin is also shown here. The compound that has the most potent CNS activity is the plus isomer. Dextroamphetamine, dexedrine. Compound is a relatively strong base, pKa up almost 10. If you think in terms of ionization and a physiological pH, 7.4, you've got like 99% of the compound ionized, but the unionized is very unsoluble, so it gets into the CNS. You compare this to the compound that had the alcohol, you get about 100 times more ability to cross the blood-brain barrier. So that's why you see the central effect. Just recently saw an article where they were looking at using the Revo isomer for its peripheral effects. The deep ingested. Of course, what they worry about is, does it still have an abuse potential? And essentially, what they were saying is they didn't see that much of an abuse potential. It's not available currently. when we're studying it, legal isomer could be used for its actual clinical action. Compounds with the phenolic group in the pure position, primarily an indirect acting compound, this term is only used in ophthalmics. So, during the eye exam, surgical procedures on the eye, we use it. The next section are the compounds that are beta agonists. When you look at the beta agonists, you can divide them into two categories based on selectivity. You can have compounds that interact on both beta 1 and beta 2 receptors. Those would be non-selective agonists. And then you can have compounds that are selective for the beta 2 receptors. Remember, those would be the therapeutic compounds that you'd be more likely to see because those are the compounds that are useful in bronchodilators. If you're using a compound as a bronchodilator, you generally don't want the effect on the beta-1 receptors that increase the cardiac output. In some cases, you would want the effect on the beta-1 receptors, and the fact that you get the beta-2 receptor negative effect is okay. So it depends on whether you're trying to treat this group, whether you want a selective or non-selective compound. But if you're specifically looking for a bronchodilator, a selective beta-2 compound would be an advantage. Compounds that are beta-2 agonists are divided into two categories based on duration. So long-acting compounds are only used to prevent bronchospasms, not to treat them. Short-acting ones will treat the bronchospasms. Even though the compounds are short-acting, you can see the effect within minutes. One other thing to mention before we get into these compounds is that the beta-2 receptor is one of those that's shown in gene polymorphism. So in other words, people differ in their beta-2 receptors. That can affect the incidence of asthma, that can affect the treatment. The gene polymorphism is an example of a SNP. A SNP is where you change one nucleotide, results in a change of like one amino acid in the receptor, and that affects then the binding of the compound. First one we're looking at was the first one that was synthesized, the isoproterenol. This is the prototypical type compound for the non-selective compounds. So when we put the bulky group on the nitrogen, the isopropyl, we got rid of the alpha agonist activity. So now we get a compound that's a beta agonist. It has a lot of uses. So again, because it's going to interact on both the beta-1 and the beta-2, it's going to make a difference. If you're looking at inhaling it, you should imply that you want the effect on the bronchodilator, the beta-2 effect. It lasts from 1 to 3 hours. Metabolism is listed. You have a catechol nucleus, so it's a substrate for COMP. You add an methyl group, the preposition. It's not a substrate for monoamine oxidase because of the size of the group on the nitrogen. But when you go to groups larger than a methyl, you decrease the metabolism by monoamine oxidase. The phenolic groups can also be conjugated. So you can have a sulfate or a glutaronide conjugate. And the 3 o'clock position. Compounds that have a catechol nucleus are sensitive to air oxidation. You mentioned that they go to the quinone type structure. So the oxidized products can have a pink color. So that is, if a person is using it by inhalation, they get some in their mouth, it's oxidized. So things like the saliva, they have a pink color. So it's just the degradated compound that's causing the pink color, so like blood in the saliva or anything like that. And you're using it for things like the injectable form. They can be using it for the treatment of shock, and that would be the beta 1 type of activity. The fact that it's not used orally, you know, reflects the fact that it's a polar compound. So whenever you have like the catechol, like the alcohol, they're going to be very polar, so you don't get a lot of absorption. And then the other thing is, because it is a substrate for COMP, whatever you did absorb would be rapidly metabolized. Similar compound has an ethyl group instead of an ethyl or the ethyl carbon. It's going to be used by inhalation for its treatment of asthma. It's less effective than the isoperfuranol in stimulating the beta 2 receptors. And remember, the receptor doesn't like bulky moves on the alpha position. The ethyl is less effective than the compound with the ethyl. The metabolism would be similar. You can metabolize with the COMP, or you can conjugate the phenolic groups. The next compound is compound where the catechols have been converted to esters. So the CPS question is, would we want to put esters on the molecule? Thank you. something beautiful. Notice the compound is being used as an aerosol, so using it for the bronchodilator effect. It's considered a silicon compound. And this shows the activation of the compound. So there are esterases that will hydrolyze the esters to form the catechol nucleus. Is the active metabolite. The reason this is more selective for beta 2 receptors is that we have the first renewable under nitrogen, and then the isopropyl is non-selective. We get the tertiary butyl, the increased selectivity for beta 2 receptors. So it's about 10 times more selective for beta 2 receptors compared to beta 1. And because of the large group on the nitrogen, we're not going to metabolize it through monoamine oxidase. But we do have the catechol, so we can metabolize it with CoMP after we activated it by hydrolysis. To increase its duration of action. If you look at the active metabolite, then that was the substrate for CoMP. By starting off with the esters, we get a compound that lasts about twice as long, which is an advantage. So that's why we're not using the active metabolite equal to itself. Having the esters, notice the duration, 5 GDAL, the isopropyl, which has the catechol nucleus and the isopropyl, short-acting 1 to 3 hours. The tertiary butyl was the group that was responsible for making it selected for beta 2 receptors. We went through structure activity relationships, and there's two ways to get compounds selected for beta 2. One was the size of the group under nitrogen, the tertiary butyl compared to the isopropyl. The other is to modify the aromatic ring. So when we went to the substitution at 3,5 instead of 3,4, that was a way to get selectivity for beta 2 receptors. Is the compound a substrate for monoamine oxidase, CoMP, both of them, or neither of them? assessor was free. It's not going to be a substrate covering bromine oxidase because of the size of the loop of the nitrogen. It's not a substrate for CO1P because we need the phenolic groups in the 3 and 4 position for it to be a substrate. So it can't follow methyl transfer. So when it's 3,5, it's not a substrate. If it's not a substrate, then it's going to be excreted and changed by the metabolites.
The alcohol stereochemistry is important for interacting with the receptor.
if you have the wrong isomer, essentially the receptor doesn't see the alcohol. So most of the compounds that we're looking at are marketed as receiving mixture, but one isomer, the one with the right stereochemistry, would be the one that would be more potent for the compounds. So this was the first one that was marketed that wasn't the receiving mixture. So again, more selective because it's not gonna, it's got the right stereochemistry for the alcohol. Related compound, where we've got a hetero ring, put a nitrogen in the ring, and then that is really similar to the albuterol, which used for its selectivity on the A2 receptors. Short acting compound. We have two compounds that are classified as long acting. This is the first one. Structural features that we didn't look at before, so it's going to have an oxygen here, it's got the nitrogen and an aldehyde, and it's also got a different group on the nitrogen to make it selective for beta-2 receptors. We have two chiral centers in the molecule, so you've got four possible isomers. Being selected for beta-2 receptors, we use it for things like asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, people that have problems with exercise-induced bronchospasm. So this is the first of the long-acting compounds. Remember, the long-acting compounds are maintenance-type therapy. They're not for treating bronchospasm that's occurring. The other compound has a long bulky group on the nitrogen. So we've got six carbons and an oxygen and then another four carbons. So this is spanning out. A little bit different in its salt, like drawing the structure. So it's just using a compound to form an ionic bond to the nitrogen, but it's one that you've probably not seen before. This is the second for the long-acting compounds again. Last about 12 hours. The albuterol is only about 4 hours. Compound is much more lipid soluble because of the group on the nitrogen. The long pink here indicates the lipid solubility. Remember the difference of one would be a tenfold difference in lipid solubility. We go from 0.66 to 3.8. We've got 1,000-fold higher lipid solubility. Both of the long-acting compounds have rings on them. What they have found is that when people are using them, they, for some reason, have a higher incidence of death. Due to severe asthmatic attacks, and I will explain why. Initially, they had put a warning on it because the black population was more at risk than where the beta receptors differ in structure and they're more sensitive. This shows the mechanism for the lung action. So this part would be similar to the other compounds that act on the beta-2 receptors. So, the aromatic ring will bind an alcohol with wine, ionize nitrogen and wine to give you the agonist effect. What's important is this aromatic ring that's located down on the end of the chain is binding to a, what they refer to as an exocyte. The next one sites is the outside of the normal binding site for the agonist. This acts as an anchor unlawful. This is a schematic that's showing that. So this is finding the normal active site for the epithelial body. This is binding on an exocyte outside of that binding site. But what happens is when the compound dissociates, this acts like a tether, so the compound will come back and interact with the receptor again. So this can come back and activate the receptor. So that's what's giving it the long duration. Keeps it localized. You don't have the same explanation for the other long-acting compound. So we'll stop at that point.